In a world raging with division and deception, one question remains. How does the secular world truly see Christians, Jews, and Islam? Tonight, we present the unveiling of the unfiltered truth, starting now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton over there in New York City.
Howdy.
David, we got a big topic for tonight's show, how the secular world sees Christians, Jews, and Islam. And I guess I should also add in there that what we're going to do is look at this not only from today, but how the world has looked at it in the past. And when I say past, I'm not talking about 100 years ago. But, you know, just in the last few years, there's been a major shift. And that's what I really want to point out today. So I'm looking forward to this discussion and glad to have you. So, David, would you mind go ahead and praying us into this episode of Last Christian?
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lay down our lives here, Father. As your ambassadors, we seek to do your will and your purposes. And as we're building this show, we hope to glorify your name, and we thank you for the opportunity that we can reach people throughout the whole world, and that they too can be ambassadors for Christ. We give you all the praise, and we ask you bless the show in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, this is what we expect to cover in this edition of the show. We'll start with how the secular world sees Christians and Jews today. And then in the second part of the show, we'll look at how secular attitudes toward Christians and Jews have changed over the years. And then in the second part of the show, how Jewish society views Christians and the secular culture today. And then we'll finish things up with why secular society protects Islam but attacks Christians and Jews. And, you know, now there's going to be people out there who say that that doesn't happen. And that's okay. You can have that opinion right now. But what I ask you to do is just go into it open-minded, look at the information that we give you, and then make up your own mind. We don't force feed anything to anybody, okay? So let's look at this first one here, which is how the secular world sees Christians and Jews today. Secular society in the Western world no longer treats Christians and Jews the way it once did. In past decades, there was at least an outward respect for both groups, whether because of their historical influence, their cultural contributions, or their moral foundations. But the modern secular worldview has shifted dramatically, and both Christians and Jews now find themselves in the crosshairs of a culture that rejects biblical truth, rewrites history, and embraces radical ideology movements with no regard for objective morality. Now, Christians are openly criticized, mocked, and pressured to abandon the beliefs that once shaped the moral backbone of Western civilization. The secular world views Christianity as a restraining force, a barrier to its goal of redefining family, sexuality, truth, identity, freedom, and even reality. The hostility is not toward Christians as individuals, but toward the God that Christians submit to. Secular ideology cannot tolerate any authority higher than human desire, and Christianity stands as a direct contradiction to that worldview. Jews, however, are facing a very different and increasingly dangerous form of secular hostility. In only the last few years, anti-Semitism has exploded in the United States and Europe. Jewish students are being harassed on campuses, synagogues are vandalized, Jewish neighborhoods are protested, and Jewish individuals are openly threatened or physically blocked from public spaces. Rather than separating individual Jews from the state of Israel, secular society now often merges them, blaming everyday Jewish citizens for political events thousands of miles away. This new hostility is not based on theology, but ideology. Activist groups, secular academic institutions, and radical political movements have rebranded Jews as oppressors, regardless of their personal beliefs or circumstances. This has created a climate where Jewish identity itself, not Jewish belief, is treated as something subject or dangerous. So today, secular society does not prefer one group over the other. Christians are despised for their faith, while Jews are targeted for their very identity. Now, both face hostility, but usually in very different forms and for very different reasons. Christianity represents the biblical truth secularism wants to erase. Jewish identity represents a historical and moral continuity the secular world resents and seeks to completely eliminate. So there's a lot there, David, but what did you think of that?
Yeah, that's all wrapped up in one word, and that would be Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, everything is, and there's a reason for it. They don't like the message of Jesus, which is why they denounce people who are Christians, real Christians. You know, they don't mind the fake ones, because they just go along with everything. But the devil is out there, and he does not want the Christians to get the word out. But he also understands that the Jews will return to receive Christ soon. So it's a little different from both ends, and that's why he wants to silence the voice of Christians. Okay, which if you just silence your voice, then they're okay with you. Mm-hmm. However, if you're Jewish, they don't care if you silence your voice; they want to erase you, and that's because of the DNA involved. All right, where the Bible prophecies are very specific that Israel will inhabit Jerusalem, and they will, they will repent and receive Christ during the tribulation period, and then Jesus will return to rule and reign. We will rule with him in the heavenlies, and they'll rule in the earthlies. And if Satan thinks if he can stop that, then he wins the game. So that's the chess game he's playing. He's trying to destroy Jews and the DNA. As far as everyone else in the world, he can't, the Christians are every race, language, nation, tongue, everything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to wipe everybody out, because then he doesn't have any bodies for his Nephilim buddies and sons and daughters.
Right.
So they just want to silence him. So it comes in different forms. But the persecution is real, and not because it's valid or anything. It's just a hatred. These people don't even know where the hatred's coming from. If you sit down and ask them, they just don't know. They're just in this blind stupor, and they have no idea why. They just, because they're Nazis. No. It's not how this works, okay?
Right.
They're bad. And the lie is spread through Satan's religion of Islam. And I mean, it clearly says, and most people know this, that Islam is, you're actually not only encouraged, you're commanded to lie to the non-Muslims on purpose if it is to create growth for the Muslim nations.
Benefit Islam, right?
Yeah, if you're going to benefit Islam, then you're required to do whatever is necessary, including lie. Mm-hmm. So who's the father of lies? That would be the devil.
Right.
So there's another proof. We're going to do a big show on Muhammad, because he's actually, now I'm finding out his name wasn't even Muhammad.
I mean, I've done some research into it too, David. I'm looking forward to that show, because
it's gonna be good. That's gonna be a few shows. Maybe we'll do a Bible study on that,
right?
Just to get people out and wake people up, because it's not the nationalities or the people groups, it's the religion. Because all those nations over there were Christian once. You know, there were huge Christian populations in Egypt, all over Iran and Iraq. There were tons of them. They were all evangelized. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mark himself went and evangelized Egypt.
Right.
Then you have Ethiopia. They're actually all Jews. So they just received the Lord when he came with the Ethiopian eunuch. Mm-hmm. He came up and he brought the word back. He said, the Messiah showed up. Great. Yeah. And and that's why. I mean, all of this, every last bit of it comes from that the devil does not want the word of God to get out, and he does not want the DNA of the Jews to survive, because that's the prophecy that they're going to defeat him.
Yeah. Well, you look back on one of our last shows, you know, we were talking about modern Christianity and different things there. And, you know, we're on a lot of different video channels. By the way, if you guys happen to run across one of them, we're on five different video platforms and I don't know how many audio platforms. But anyway, there was one guy, and I can't remember the message exactly, and I don't think I've even replied to it yet, but it was basically, you know, the world would be a better place if religion didn't exist at all. You know, I mean, that was basically, I mean, it was a one sentence remark. You know, it was idiotic, of course, but it points to the fact that, you know, religion is under attack. And I don't know, I even hate to say religion because, you know, you can make anything can be a religion.
Like evolution.
A football game can be your religion. You know, anything can be your religion. But Christianity is under attack. Judaism is under attack. And I can't think of another religion by name that is truly under attack. Can you? I mean, do you think about Hindu, Buddhist, Islamist, Scientologist, whatever? I mean, I can't think of another group other than Christians and Jews that are under actual attack. Can you?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the Pastafarians with the flying spaghetti monster god.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're because it's the only truth. I mean, that's all they do is scream and yell about tolerance and you being a fascist when that's doing the very definition of fascist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's humorous. And I mean, at one point we just laugh because it's funny. If it was a TV show, it'd be hilarious. Mm-hmm. However, it's real life and you're really trying to get through to these people and they really believe what they're doing, which is utterly ridiculous. And that's what Romans
said. Do they believe it, David? Do they really believe it? Or has it been? Well, I'll tell you what, let's look at this. Okay. We're going to move on here and let me see if I can get this up here.
Now, quick. Romans says they'd be, you know, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. So.
Let's look at how secular attitudes toward Christians and Jews have changed over the last 50 years. 50 years ago, Christians held a recognized yet clearly imperfect place in American and Western life. Even non-believers respected the moral clarity that Christians offered. Schools, families, and communities still reflected biblical principles. But over time, as secularism gained strength, the cultural narrative flipped. The more Christians held to God's word, the more secular institutions portrayed them as intolerant, regressive, and dangerous. By refusing to surrender biblical truth to cultural pressure, Christians became the natural enemy of secular ideology. Jewish communities, meanwhile, were once viewed largely through the lens of historical persecution. Most of the Western world responded with sympathy, respect, and a desire to protect Jewish people from future harm. Now, that era is now gone. Over the past 5 years, especially, Jewish communities have become a central target of secular rage. And let me see, I've got another one up here for you. Protests at universities, once places of supposed tolerance, have devolved into open anti-Semitic mobs. Jewish professors have been threatened. Jewish students have been chased off or escorted off campuses due to threats to their safety. Secular society now weaponizes political ideology to redefine Jews not as a vulnerable minority, but as an oppressive class, an accusation completely detached from reality. Now, this represents one of the most dramatic reversals in modern Western history. The same society that once vowed never again is now tolerating and even encouraging intimidation, harassment, and violence against Jewish people. Meanwhile, Christians continue being vilified for refusing to kneel to secular immoral revolutions. In short, secular society now resents Christians for their beliefs and Jews for their identity. It's not respect, but hostility that defines modern secular response to both biblical faith communities. Do you agree with that, David?
Yeah, and it's quite amazing. And we just had last week, there was a Holocaust survivor, and he just wanted to tell his story. And then the principal of one of the schools here wouldn't let him in and said, oh, no, that's a political thing. And
that.
It's like, Excuse me? So, yeah, the homeschool your kids, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to.
Because they have no intention of changing that.
It's indoctrination. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a guy's life story, how he survived literally a third of his people. There was 6 million Jews and 2 million were 6 million were killed, and there was 18 million around the world.
Yeah.
And they 6 million people killed. And then she's like, oh, it's too political. You know, sometimes you just think, my wish it happens to your family. Mm. But then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Jesus died for her too.
Yeah.
I pray she repents. So here we are. And this is the society. Again, it all goes back to they just don't want anyone to do it. So if Satan can get everybody against a certain people group, then no matter where they go, they'll be in danger. And that's what he wants. So here we are. Wake up, people.
Yeah.
The end is close. Yeah.
That's
especially with all the volcanoes going on. Did you see them?
Yeah. I watched. Well, now you watch seismic activity a lot more than I do. So you might want to.
I mean, there's a whole bunch that came on that weren't active for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden they're back.
Well, there was one report. I saw it just the other day. And I did make a comment on it. I said, okay, this turned out to be clickbait. Okay. But. Mm-hmm. The title was the biggest super volcano in America is showing signs of eruption. Well, it just so happens I know what that is, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's Yellowstone. I know that, okay? So I read the article, and you know, they were talking about how it hadn't gone off in a million or so years, so they're wrong right off the top, right? And then they kept going on about what could happen and this would happen and all that, if. And then toward the bottom of the article is, but, you know, the scientists at Yellowstone, they see nothing happening that right now, you know. Okay, so in other words, you wrote a pointless article, you put a big headline on it, and it's nothing but clickbait. But the thing is, though, David, is that there is nothing to prevent that big volcano from erupting or any of the other super volcanoes in the world. And what if all of them went off at the same time? What if God allowed every volcano, every super volcano in the world to go off at the same time?
Well, that's about to happen. I don't know if people realize that.
Go ahead. I mean, you've got a lot of information on the seismic stuff. Go ahead.
Well, here's the deal. The magnetic North Pole, or I guess the South Pole as well, because it's one pole. So the magnetic North Pole is very, very erratic, and it's going off. All the stuff inside the Earth, the magma, has actually stopped at one point. Mm-hmm. And it's indicative of a pole shift. Okay, we saw one in Joshua's day. You know, there's probably one during the flood, which caused a lot of these issues that are happening. Mm-hmm. And if you get the magnetic pole shift, that's just going to tear the earth apart. Well, that's exactly what we read in Revelation. The mountains are going to be melted. So looks like they're melting to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so earthquakes like we've never seen, and we're seeing those now, the volcanoes, the islands will flee, because that's going to happen. We've seen islands. Well, you can look around all over Europe. There's a bunch of them. There's these big calderas, and there's this ring of little islands. It's like, no, that's the outside of the volcano. So it's coming, folks.
Yeah, it is coming.
We're going to see all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, the Earth is going to see it. We'll be raptured.
Yeah, the Earth is going to see it.
Before the worst part.
I wonder if we're going to have a big screen TV or something to be able to watch this.
I don't know. Maybe some popcorn.
Yeah.
Or will we just be at dinner? Yeah, that's another thing I wonder.
Yeah.
It's like the people say, oh, my father's up there watching down on me.
Yeah. I've heard that all
the time. Yeah, he's probably not interested in whether you get this particular job right now.
Mm-mm.
He's got bigger things to think about.
Yeah,
but it still begs the question, is there a portal where they can see into us and we can't see them?
Yeah.
Or is it blocked off until we get home? I don't know.
You know, I've wondered that on occasion as well. And I'll give you a specific reason why I came to my mind. I know that both of my mom, my dad, and my other mom, and for those of you that don't know that well, you'll figure it out. My mom and dad that I grew up with, they were big Christians, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And I know that both of them left the earth unsure if I would be saved.
Ah.
So what I have always wondered is, okay, the day I was saved, did they get to see that? You know, that would be extra special cool as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, if the Lord opened that up just that second to see that, you know, and then they could get back to whatever they were doing before, you know, but you know, we have no idea, you know, we're not in that realm. And so, I can only hope they know, because I'm sure that they prayed for that every single night, because, I can remember, each night, and I'm not exaggerating at all, every single night, my dad and mom would sit on her bed, and he would have the Bible, and they would have their own Bible reading every night. And this wasn't 5 minutes. This was a good, long Bible study.
Nice.
And prayer. You know, so I just wonder, you know, I wonder. But the good thing, David, is I know I'm going to see him again. You know,
yeah.
That's the good thing. I know for sure I will get to see him again.
Well, if they're in eternity, then you also have that question, do we all reach heaven at the exact same moment?
Yeah. We've talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, everybody's here at once. It's like, didn't you die like 4,000 years ago? Yeah, I just got here though.
Yeah, what happened, you know? Well, you know, the Bible speaks about sleep, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I have always wondered about that too. You know, I mean, is this I don't know. I don't even know how to ask the question. I mean, is it sleep? Do you just, you know?
I guess it depends on your definition of sleep.
Yeah.
Because I know death means separation, not like we think a ceasing to exist means separate.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean.
Maybe in the old English.
Yeah, for those that are going the wrong direction, I don't think they would have rest. But I'm just wondering if those that do, just like you said, you know, time is eternal, so bang, we're all there. Just, I don't know. I really have no idea how that works out, you know? I guess we need to do a study on that, too. I don't know.
We do. We need to study that.
Oh, man. All right, but anyway, getting back to...
yeah, that was a nice rabbit hole.
Yeah, yeah, but getting back to the topic here, you know, the way back when... World War II was coming to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
General Eisenhower, as he liberated these concentration camps and death camps, he told his people to photograph it, to film it, to memorialize it, because he said there will come a time when people deny this happened. And he wanted it on film. He wanted it well documented. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
All
Here
of that
we are.
Came true. Every bit of it came true. And, you know, there's still countries like Iran, for instance, that denies that there was a Holocaust. I think that crazy Congress lady up there in Minnesota, I think she denies it. What's her name? Omar?
Yeah. Well, she's about to get deported. I hope they really take care of these.
I do, too. Yeah.
Because she married her falsely brother. Entered the country by marrying her brother.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's bad. But anyway, the attitudes have changed here dramatically, as was illustrated earlier. You know, never again, never again. I've heard never again my whole life. I mean, you know, I was born, you know, several years after World War II was over. But, you know, never again, never again, never again will we allow this to happen to the Jews. And now... What's happening, David? I mean, it's
the next generation. And you know what? That's what all these cell phones and social media is all about. I mean, I know that's where we get our word out, but we're not the the typical social media of today, where it's just quick, get your attention and then run and you're off to something else. Mm-hmm. And we want to just nab it all day long. So that's what happened. It's all by design. It's all by design to get people to not think about things, not be taught history in their schools, so they can refill their heads with the same garbage that they filled them with last time.
Indoctrination. It's all indoctrination. And, you know, I mean, even 9/11, for instance, like my grandkids were born well after, you know, most of them anyway, well after 9/11, you know. And so it's not a real... I hate to say it like this. It's not a real event in their mind. Just like Pearl Harbor, you know, that to me, okay, well, that's a historic thing, but I didn't live through it. I didn't feel it. I didn't, you know, I didn't have the emotion behind it. I have the emotion behind 9/11. I saw it. Okay. But those that, that were born after, they didn't. And so they can be indoctrinated into hating the Jews, you know, with them, it was never again. With 9/11, it's we won't forget or something like that. We'll never forget. And we forgot already. We're done. We already forgot because the same people that brought our towers down there in New York are now the ones that we're protecting as hard as we possibly can. Now, you know, I'm talking about a specific religion here. I'm not naming them by name. Y'all figure it out. If you don't know, educate yourself on it. You know? But anyway, go ahead, David.
Yeah, and I mean, we live here too. But even the evidence, I mean, it's just, it's all convoluted. The evidence points to other people in our government who are, you know, behind it.
Behind it.
And then they're in cahoots. But that was the whole idea from the beginning. Hey, listen, we'll let us take over and then you'll get a power grab at this thing too. But it's all coming together. Which leads me, we're 2 minutes out till the end of the first half. And I just found it interesting that you know, Trump just came out with the peace board and they're gonna have a meeting and take a wild guess at how many nations are in it.
Peace thing, huh?
Yeah. There's a conglomerate at the end of the age with how many kings?
10?
Yep. Just 10 nations are coming in on this peace board that's coming in. I'm like, all right, I don't know if he's the guy, but it certainly looks funky to me. Just one more thing that points to the imminent return of Christ.
Right.
And that being the case, I would encourage everybody, listen, don't put your trust in the world. Don't get upset. We talk about these things not so you can get upset and get mad, because honestly, what are you going to do about it? You know, you can be an activist and all this stuff, but are you going to go up against the whole world? No, there's one who defeated Satan already. And in Colossians 2:14-17, he says he paraded them around like the losers that they were. And that would be Jesus Christ. So he paid off your debt. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances written against us. That means all that debt that you had, that sin debt, he blotted it all out. And he defeated all the principalities and powers. He mocked them. And this is just them throwing a temper tantrum. All right. You need to be with Jesus. You need to accept his contract for payment and know that this is just a temporary temper tantrum. Just like a little kid, you're okay, well, just you done yet? Then we get to go home. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye-bye.
Have a message the world needs to hear? Revelation Radio is opening the door for new hosts right now. Launch your own show with no setup fees, no contracts, and worldwide reach through our AM broadcast and global platform. Choose a free 30-minute barter-based program or upgrade to a donation-based show up to 2 hours commercial-free. You bring your voice. We provide the platform, branding, help, and promotion. Visit revelationradio.net and click hosting opportunities to get started today.
Laugh a little louder at lunch. The John and Heidi Show brings you offbeat news, daily positives, and weird holidays that keep things fun. No politics, no drama, just lighthearted, family-friendly entertainment, odd stories, celebrity birthdays, and the kind of surprises that make you smile. Every day at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, here on RevelationRadio.net. The John and Heidi Show. Positive, fun, different.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas, Mr. David Paxton there in New York. And David, you wanted to point out something before we move on?
Yeah, we had mentioned Oliabo, which is a new affiliate that we have. It's also, you can do affiliate or you can do networking. Mm-hmm. So if you are business-minded, you can take a look at this and see it. And I got to tell you, it's based on an olive oil and olive oil extract with some facial care, with some actual pain relief, believe it or not, all natural pain relief, mm-hmm. and then olive oil supplements as well. So the supplements just started shipping, and I've been taking them for, it's now 4 days, and I got to tell you, like the first day, I literally felt a difference. Mm. And I've been taking supplements for years of different kinds, and I've never felt a difference right away.
Wow.
And I actually wasn't even expecting it, wasn't looking for it. I was like, okay, let me try these, and I'll check in a week. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, wow, I feel really good. I got up. So check this out, you know, being my age. I came home, right? I got all my work done. All right. Went out to see a couple clients. Then I went grocery shopping. And then I came back and I did the dishes. And then I came back, you know, right after that, I made dinner for my wife. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, where did all this energy come from? It's like, oh, wait. And then I felt this, you know, same idea the second day. And I felt like I slept better too. Mm. And I'm like, it was really like a deep sleep. Not like I was knocked out with NyQuil, but just real good, solid. And well,
I'm putting it back up on screen right here because, okay. You know, I do want people to know that, you know, you can get into this right now on the ground floor and it's 100% risk free. When I say 100%, I mean that you don't have mm-hmm. You don't have to give them a credit card. Okay. There isn't any fees. There isn't anything about it whatsoever.
Yep, no cost to sign
you can
up.
Sign up absolutely free and then do whatever you want. You know, you can be an affiliate of it or you can sell it or you can, you know,
or enroll other people.
And,
you know, the more customers you enroll, you earn commissions on their sales.
Right.
And that's how that works.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a business you can run from home, this is super simple.
Yeah.
And you could just send out links like this link here. Go mm-hmm. Go Olive USA. There's two O's. Make GoOliveUSA.com and you can get an idea what it is and you can send out similar links to all your people and that's how the business grows. If they buy something they give you a commission. Like, and it's residual month after month after
yeah,
month.
Yeah, that was one of the cool things. You know, usually when you get an affiliate thing, you make the first sale and that's it. And, you know, the person keeps buying it from the company and you don't ever get anything from it. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it is with this one. This one continues to pay you. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
so go on there.
We will use
the Last Christian link. There's mm-hmm. a couple of links on that site at the end.
Yeah.
Use the one that says Last Christian, the mm-hmm. radio show, and then use that to sign up.
Yeah, yeah, it's quick and easy. I mean, when I say quick and easy, I mean it's quick and easy. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go here with the next one that we've got here, David, which is how Jewish society views Christians and secular culture today. So we're doing a flip over here. So anyway, Jewish society today sees secular culture as increasingly hostile and unstable, regardless of denomination, Orthodox, conservative, Reform, or secular Jewish identity. Many Jewish communities are recognizing that the secular world is no longer a safe or predictable environment. The same society that once defended Jewish people now increasingly turns against them under the influence of radicalized political activism. Now, Jewish society sees Christians in a far more favorable light than in earlier decades, where past generations kept their distance because of historical tensions. Today, many Jewish groups acknowledge that Christians are among the strongest and most reliable supporters of the Jewish people and the State of Israel. I want to emphasize here true Christians, because mm-hmm. There are Christian groups out there that don't read the Bible, really. You know, they have their own interpretation of the Bible. And so I make it clear that true Christians defend Jewish rights and stand against anti-Semitism and support Israel's existence and security. This has built a bridge of trust and cooperation that did not exist, at least not at this level, 50 years mm-hmm. ago. So within their own community, Jews are dealing with deep internal divisions. Orthodox Jews fear secular society will erase their traditions and weaken Jewish identity. Reform Jews embrace modern cultural trends, but are now discovering that secular ideology turns against them as quickly as it turns against anyone else who refuses to yield completely. Even secular Jews, many of whom once championed the very movements now turning violent, are realizing they cannot rely on secular institutions for protection. Jewish communities increasingly see Christians not as theological rivals, but as allies in a world that rejects God. They see that Christians honor the Hebrew Scriptures, respect Israel's biblical significance, and oppose the hatred that's rising against Jewish people worldwide. Meanwhile, secular ideology offers no loyalty, no protection, and no moral foundation. So, do you think that that's really, how can I phrase this? Mm-hmm. Because of the belief in the one true God, okay? Mm-hmm. Both groups have the belief in the one true God. Do you think that that is what is finally bringing the Jewish community and the Christian community closer together than ever before? Because we're closing in on the end days. I don't know how to... phrase it anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's I don't know if it's that, because there's still that dichotomy. From the Hasidic point of view, you know, that they think Jesus was a bastard, he was a liar, and that he died and went to hell, and he's boiling in a sea of excrement. I mm-hmm. mean, that's what they view Jesus as. Mm. Okay, not that those are the extreme ones, but that's basically as far as extreme as it goes. And then it's all the way up to, hey, you're my buddy.
okay.
And that's fine, because there's so many different tribes, you know, and, yeah, right. and millions of them. So they're right. all different. Mm-hmm. And then there's different sects within that each tribe as well. So there's mm-hmm. so many different types. You can't just lump, you know, someone being Jewish into any particular category until you find right. out what they're all about.
Right.
And so what happens is, now that they've seen, since they've been there, they still had that attitude. And Hitler claimed to be a Christian and doing it in the name of Christianity at mm-hmm. first.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why, you know, we tend to get mad at the churches were over there. But remember, there's secular churches, and they didn't know the difference. So they were just told by Hitler and his buddies, oh, this is a Christian thing to do. Because that's what Martin Luther did. He said the Jews have to be eradicated because they're the ones that killed Jesus, and the church replaced it. So the Lutheran, you know, stuff, we think, oh, yes, you know, he nailed those the thesis to the wall, and that's why they're protest, and that's why they're called Protestants. Well, they got their own major set of problems, as, you know, the Protestants as a group, that being one of them, okay, that they're just very anti-Semitic, because he wanted to witness to the Jews and they didn't want to hear it. So he just turned against them altogether. Right. So that's interesting there. And then he didn't like a couple of books in the New Testament either. I should take that out of the New Testament. It's like, no, you can't do that, Luther.
Well, they've taken stuff out. The Jewish people have taken stuff out of the Old Testament.
Yeah. And it depends on which ones you got. That's why I like to go back to Ethiopia. They got, hey, this is what we've had the whole time. You know,
do you
they
know
got
what
Enoch
Bible that is, David? Do you know what Bible?
The Ethiopian Bible, yeah.
Okay, Coptic. It is called the Ethiopian Bible? Because I'd like to get a copy of that myself.
Yeah, go on Amazon. You'll at least get the PDF of it.
Okay.
You know, finding it, you know, I guess they reprint full copies, but I'd like to get an original one from 2,000 years ago.
Me too. Because that's got that has additional books in it, in addition to the 66,
yeah.
right?
And they consider it canon. Matter of fact, the church even split back then. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, oh, the Nicene Council made it canon. well, the Ethiopian Council said that all these were canon. Mm-hmm. So who do you go with? So the Eastern and the Western there, but we're in the Western Church, so that's what we believe. Oh, it's just these books. Well, what about all those believers that said, well, it's these books too?
You know, do you know right off the top of your head the different count there between what we do, the 66 books, and what theirs is? Any idea?
I'm probably wrong, but I think it's 13 more books.
13 more? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I need to look that up.
Don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I'll look into that and see, because I would like to get a copy of that, because some of the books there, I wonder why we don't have them. Honestly, yeah. But, you know, I mean.
Don't throw the knuckleball at me.
Yeah. Okay.
How am I going to hit that one?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm seeing more and more is that they're trying to divide Christians and Jews as much as they can. And I'm talking about, you know, the secular world. And one of the things that they're trying to use against Christians and Jews, really, is, what color was Jesus? Was he really white? Was he black? Was he brown? And I'm like, what difference does it make?
It really doesn't. But you know, he was a Middle Eastern Jew. Duh.
If there was a, if it was of importance, it'd be in the book. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not important. And, you know, when we get to heaven, I am thinking, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing all this racial stuff. Well, I know when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a racial divide up there.
No, you not know? At all.
Technically,
there's only one race, and it's a human race.
Right.
They keep calling it races. No, we're the same exact family. God's got a lot of colors. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Who was it? Was it Noah or Moses? I think it was Moses that had a black wife. Can't remember.
Well, there's Bathsheba was black, and I think they came out different colors, because that's where you get the three main races, or the three sons of Noah.
My point is that there was, you know, God's not a racist.
It was Noah's son, Cush, was black, and that's went down to Africa.
Anybody that is trying to interject that kind of stuff in there and, you know, cause a fight, they're not a Christian. Okay.
No.
They're not. They're just not. They're pretending to be, and they're trying to find something that is going to draw people away from Christ. That's what their goal is. That's their ultimate goal.
And just on that note too, I mean, my sister-in-law, she's got three kids. One of them looks black. One of them is black. One of them's white, and the other one's kind of right in the middle. So right out of one family, you got three different colors.
Well, I got the same thing here. We've got
father, by the way.
Yeah, we've got grandchildren that are white, black, and Hispanic. Okay, okay, cool. You know, I'm good with that. I don't care. And I don't look at any one of those kids any differently than, okay, that's my grandchild. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're white and you go after one of the darker skinned grandchildren, Papa Joe's going to have a fit, and the other way around too. I mean, you know, whatever. I am protective of my grandchildren. Okay. 100%. So don't mess with Papa Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do it.
Okay.
The reason they're trying to separate the Christians and Jews, though, is because, again, the idea is, if the Christians are hanging out with the Jews, they're going to finally realize that Jesus is their Messiah. You know, and that's why they keep them separate. So there's that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at this one now. Moving on. Why secular society protects Islam but attacks Christians and Jews. The most revealing question of all is why the secular world protects Islam while attacking both Christians and Jews. And the answer lies in ideology, not truth. Secular society embraces Islam not because it agrees with Islamic doctrine. It really doesn't, since Islam contradicts nearly every secular belief on gender, sexuality, identity, marriage, and moral autonomy. Secular culture, for the most part, defends Islam fiercely for one manufactured reason: the belief that Islam is an oppressed identity group within the secular worldview. Secular ideology elevates identity above truth. It worships victimhood. It rewards groups it defines as oppressed, and it punishes those that it defines as powerful. Now, because of this indoctrination, Christians are targeted because they represent biblical authority. That, of course, the very thing secular culture wants to overthrow. Judaism is targeted because it's tied to Israel, biblical history, and moral continuity, all of which secular ideology hates. Islam, however, is framed as a protected status group that fits neatly into the secular narrative of oppression and victimhood. That's why the secular world attacks Christianity for its beliefs and Jews for their identity, but defends Islam even when Islamic beliefs contradict secular values. It is not theological consistency, it's ideological convenience. Secular society is at war with the God of the Bible, and therefore at war with his people, whether Christian or Jewish, but it shields Islam because doing so reinforces its own political narrative. What you got to say about that, David?
Yeah, and there's a taqiyya, which allows them to lie. So it is kind of interesting. Literally, Islam goes against everything these people want.
Right.
And here they are trying to push it, you know? Lord. And the women screaming in the street, try that in Islam, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, gays for Palestine. Okay, let's see how long that lasts with you. You know, color your hair. No, 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 no. Oh, you like your pet dog? Yeah, well, we're going to kill the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bring it near me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just ridiculous because everything they are crying that Christians do is exactly what Islam does.
Right.
You know, they are fascists, you know, and Islam's not a religion. They seem to forget that. It is a political system under the guise of religion. But again, that's just because it's of Satan, then that Satan's going to lie and come, you know, preaching righteousness. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says this. He says there'll come a time in the end when people will kill you thinking they're doing God a favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now look at, again, the second time in the show I brought this lady up.
Omar?
I can't think of her first name anyway.
Doesn't matter. Ilham?
Yeah, whatever her name is. Anyway, she talks a lot. I mean, she, you know, she's on camera, you used to make jokes about Chuck Schumer, you know, don't get between him and a camera.
Well,
that's kind of like this Omar. I mean,
yeah, she's taking over.
She loves to be on TV unless she's being questioned by somebody who really wants a good answer, and then she's quiet as a church mouse.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. She may be really popular in her little Minneapolis area there, and she may talk a lot, and, you know, she's out there and she's blasting and she's talking however she wants to. Do you think the people in Iran would let her speak? Do you think they would give her a microphone and let her talk to a crowd? And how long would it be before her head came off? I mean, you know, let's be real here.
Yep, 100%. They'd be like, you put that black sheet on.
Mm-hmm. And don't dare show your face. Mm-mm.
Yep. But they will allow it here because it will, you know, further their diabolical ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's they'll let that happen because it's all in the lie. You know, hey, let's lie and let's do this and that.
Yeah.
So now you're giving the appearance of, you know, a woman being allowed to talk when, in fact, if that comes in, she's going to be the first to go. And then she's going to be like, whoop, but, and they're like, nope, too bad.
How come women here in the United States, and you're only going to have an opinion, I know, but why is it that women here in the United States that claim to be of the Islamic faith, why aren't they more vocal about, you know, this stuff over here is what we're getting away from, what we want no part of? Why don't they say that?
I don't know. I can't speak for them specifically, but what the things I can think of is they're being told to do that. And since they were oppressed, since they were born, you know, that's just, okay, well, I have to do this. This is what my boss told me to do. My master
Okay.
Told me to do. So I have to do it. Maybe they're getting kickbacks. Maybe, you know, they told them, hey, if you do this for us, then, you know, we'll let you be one of the, you know, the non-persecuted women. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of ways, because it's, I probably lean towards that one the most, because that's what's happening with all these powerful elites around the world. They think, let's say there's a guy who invented a computer program, but didn't really invent it and stole it from somebody. And he's really wealthy, but now all of a sudden he's a health expert and wants to give a shot to everybody in the world and doing experiments in Africa. And we now know that those shot experiments were designed to make everybody infertile, because in his mind, there's too many kids being born in Africa. Mm-hmm. So now all these people are dying and all this stuff happens. Why do you do stuff like that? Why? Mm-hmm. What in the world would make you do that? Why would you even care if they're having a lot of kids in Africa?
Right.
Why? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because they're lied to. They're rich and elite, and the only reason they are rich is because Satan is feeding them this bunch of lies. If you do this for me, I'll make you rich. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ah, the gold.
Yeah, rich.
Mm-hmm. And so they're told, hey, you need to do this. Oh, it's good to depopulate the world because the earth needs to rest and all this crap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's like, that's ridiculous. So we kill people so the earth could rest. That's ridiculous. God didn't make a planet that was too small. It's not like, oh, crap, I got too many people now. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know? But they are told the lie that they will rule and reign when Satan takes over.
Mm-hmm.
That they will be the elites, and all these people that they're on their working for them, that they will be under them and they'll be the powerful ones. So now they got this power trip and this rich thing going on in their head. And you wonder why they do these things. Well, that's why. They really believe that they're going to be the elite in this coming new age.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the problem is, the minute that abyss opens that we see in Revelation with that innumerable army, they're going to be the first ones to go, hey, thanks for doing it for us. Your lunch, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they're done and they don't realize it. Well, these women, it's under the same guise, really. They're told that they're going to have a powerful spot when they take over. And they're just not, because it's Islam and it's of the devil.
Well, now, the secular change, what do you attribute that to? Is it strictly because of the indoctrination that's been going on in our schools, especially at the college level? Or, you know, what's caused this change? Because there's been a major shift, David, just in the last, you know, I mean, I could break it all the way down to 5 years, but certainly within the last 50 years, there's been a huge, huge astronomical shift. What's responsible for that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you got the snowball going down the hill, the bottom, it's going really fast and it's really big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it starts off slow and you got to keep pushing it. It started with evolution.
Okay.
Because you have to get several generations of a mindset of, oh, that we got here by accident and there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that into the hearts and minds of the people.
Okay.
All right. And then you start messing with the food. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mess with the food and start introducing, you know, genetically modified stuff and pesticides and all this, now you're getting all this crap into people's brains so they don't think anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think, oh, we're so much smarter today. There's no way. There's no way. Okay. We have absolutely zero clue how to build a pyramid.
Right.
Okay. None. Yet we think we're smarter. Okay, well, then build this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, there's just no way. We are way dumber than they were in the past, but we're convinced that we're smarter because we have a cell phone that will calculate the square root of pi for us without having to think about it. Well, that makes you even dumber. So, because now you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and over time, so the food, now these shots are really destroying people's brains, and the TV and the social media to distract them. Bread and circus, the Romans called it. Just make sure you feed them and that you give them something entertaining. They won't pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah.
So here we are. And that's why the society, and now the snowball is rolling really fast, which is exactly what Jesus said it would do.
Right.
And he just took his hands off and says, okay, you guys rule yourself. My kingdom's not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Not of this age is really the word. It's not, my kingdom is not of this age, but there will be, it's coming. And at the end of this age, that's when things hit the fan. And that's when all the chaos will come down. And right at the very last moment when it, okay, these people are going to destroy the entire earth. That's when he comes back and says, one more thing. Here's my sword, and we're going to destroy all of you at once.
Yep.
Thank you very much. And that's why all the birds are starting to gather in Israel right now, too.
No, I don't know about that.
The vultures.
Oh, vultures.
It's been going on for years. And all of a sudden, they're, probably 10 years or so, a huge increase in, birds of prey, vultures, and stuff like that.
That is extremely biblical. For you people that don't understand, that is extreme. I mean, there's another show, David.
Yep.
There's another one. That's a true last days show right there.
But why is a sudden major increase in vulture type birds all through Israel? Mm-hmm. Huh. Are they preparing for something?
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Gracious. But, I see this shift in secular society against Christians and against Jews. I think it's more from my personal perspective. Now, you're in a big city. I'm in a very small one. But from my perspective here, there's not as much anti-Christian stuff going on. I mean, there's anti-Christian stuff going on, but it's not prevalent. But Jewish, yes. And again, not here in the little city, because I don't even know if we have a Jew in this city, to be honest with you. But, across the world, anti-Semitism is at an all-time high, at least since the time of Hitler and the Nazis and all that, and growing. And for no reason. That's the thing. I mean, Israel gets attacked, and they get blamed because they got attacked. Israel has their people taken, dead and alive, to underground facilities, and it's their fault that that happened. And Israel is ready to make peace, and the other group says no, and so they're blamed because there's no peace. I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing that's going on with Israel makes any sense at all if you actually look at it with a drop of common sense. I'll let you finish the show.
Yeah, that's amazing that people can actually think like that. Hey, listen, let's make an agreement. No, we got to destroy you. Oh, you're evil.
Yeah. Right? But
that is the MO. I mean, it's the Albert Pike. That's his psychological warfare is all that. And the scary part is at the end of what I'm going to tell you right now. But he basically says that's how you mess with their heads all the time. We call it gaslighting. So they'll do stuff like blatantly, openly do it, and then turn around and blame you for exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's why you see all these people. Oh, you're a fascist. Well, what you're doing is actually fascism. Well, you're a Nazi. Okay, no, I'm actually protecting the Jews. Mm-hmm. But at the end of that, he says, now we're going to cause chaos in society with all this gaslighting, make people go crazy. And then when they need a hero, we will supply him. So now the hero comes in and he's going to say all the things we want to hear because we're so upset. But trust me, he's from the enemy. He's going to lead you down that road. So therein lies our political system today. Right. But you don't have to worry about that. You can come on the side of the Lord, and his kingdom is everlasting. So if you join his kingdom, it's just receiving the payment that Jesus made for your sins and then giving him your life. I mean, it's simple as that. So come join us, and we can live in eternity together with Christ. We'll see you guys on the next show.
You've just heard the truth the world refuses to speak. As prophecy accelerates and deception rises, only those grounded in God's word will stand. Thank you for joining us on this powerful journey through scripture and the signs of our time. Stay vigilant, stay faithful, and stay connected with us as we expose deception and reveal prophecy, always declaring the uncompromised word of God. Every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, at www.lastchristian.net. Have you ever wanted your own radio show? Revelation Radio is opening the door right now. Host your program across East Texas and worldwide online. With no setup fees and no contracts, choose a free 30-minute barter slot or a donation-based show up to 2 full hours commercial-free. You bring the content, we provide the platform, branding help, promos, and global reach. Your message deserves an audience. Go to revelationradio.net, click hosting opportunities, and get started today.